So this afternoon, it's my pleasure to talk about how to project climate change impacts on hydrological process for local watershed in Mississippi. And my name is Yin and last name is Ouya, and also the co-author is Gary Fay. And I work for USDA Forest Service and Gary is AI, Agriculture Research Service. Okay, so everyone knows that climate change has some impact. And the climate change can shift rainfall patterns and modify the intensity and extreme, increase the air and water temperature, and then change stream flow, soil moisture, surface runoff, and enhance the sediment and contaminant loading in the rivers. Also impose many uncertainties for hydrological process and water quality status. And back to Mississippi, why do we need to worry about the climate change impact? So in Mississippi, this is the lower Mississippi River Basin, and I'm in Mississippi here, around here. Because that the climate change has changed the rainfall extremes, intensity and amount, disrupt the regional and local hydrological cycle, also affect the nutrient and sediment loading. Say it can cause flooding in Mississippi and also sediment loading in Mississippi River. You see that it's very dirty, this river. And finally, all those sediments and contaminants go to the Gulf of Mexico. Okay. And the question is that how do we quantify the climate change impact in hydrological process and water quality in Mississippi? I need to say that currently there's one method they use is that they go to download the GCM, which is the General Circulated Models, or RCM, which is the Regional Climate Change Models. And then they use this climate scenario, especially future rainfall and air temperature. They use that and then to predict the next 150 years what's going on. Okay, this approach is very good for global as well as the regional scale, but for small watershed, it's not accurate because currently there's a couple papers published already. They try to verify this data and they found that it's failed to to match with the history measurements in hydrological process as well as water quality. So in this study, I'm trying to use another approach to see how the climate change impact on hydrological processes as well, not here, but as well as water quality for the local small watershed. Okay, so the objective of today's presentation is to develop the basin's HHPF CAT model and predict the hydrological process in lower Yazoo River watershed, which is a watershed in the lower Mississippi River Basin. Lower Mississippi River Basin include five states, say Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, Tennessee, Missouri, five states. And then apply the model to see how the air temperature and rainfall increase that due to climate change and then affect on hydrological process. And I'm not talking about water quality here, but before I came here yesterday, I have already finished one paper about water quality. Okay. So what is the basins of HHPF and CAT modeling system? A basin is the better assessment science integrating poi and non-poi source, which is developed by EPA. It's a multi-purpose environmental analysis system for performing the water shed and water quality analysis. In basins, there are several models. For example, SWOT, HHPF, SWIN, and other models in there. And this is the HHPF model. And I know that from many people from agriculture field, they use SWOT.
She was the one that used a lot.
Okay. But I use HSPF.
I think that can do the same thing.
HSPF stands for Hydrological Simulation Program Fortran. HSPF. That's what it says. So it's developed by US EPA for simulating many processes related to water quantity and quality. Say for example you have watershed, okay, and then you can divide a watershed into many catchments and say which one is the catchment one, which two is catchment two. So you can do something like that. Which also included say rain use, different rain use, topography, and also hydrological and meteorological data. And one thing I need to emphasize here is the CAT, which is climate assessment tools developed by EPA, developed in 2009, but there's not many paper published in this area. I don't know why they couldn't use it. Maybe it's somewhat difficult. Why the US EPA want to develop this model? Because they want to answer what if questions. Say, for this small local watershed, if, say, the rainfall in summer, say, changed a lot, or in winter it's very dry, what's going on for this watershed? That's why they want to use these tools to predict the climate change. And this tool can connect with HSPF model, SWAM model, as well as SWAM model. They connect together. So say, HSPF model, SWAT and other SWAM models. Okay. So this is one that I use HSPF. Say, once I develop this model, and then automatically I connect it to CAT. And I want to generate many climate change scenarios to see what's going on.
So here is the CAT model. You can go that change the air temperature. Say here is the air temperature in here. And then you can go there and say that I want to add it or subtract the temperature. Say, make it increase, say, for the whole year, increase 0.2, 0.4, or 1 degree. So you can change that, the air temperature. Once you change that, you're going to ask you, when you change temperature, what's going to affect? And then you're going to affect the evapotranspiration. And then you're going to ask you, so you want to use Hammond's equation, or which equation you want to use, and then to change evapotranspiration. You can do that in this one. And also that you can change the rainfall rate. They change the rainfall rate. Okay, let's go. Next one. So, say for example, you can change the rainfall. Okay, here you can add or subtract constant, values to the history rainfall data. You can also say that I want the multiple increased by 10% or 20%. You can also say that I want only the rainfall increase in January or in October. You can go there to change it. So say I want to do that only in summer. You just go here and then click on this, mark on this, and then it will only do that for you. And also, say for example, I want to do increase the rainfall rate in summer. But there's a condition there that if the rainfall increase is more than 10% of the volume, total volume of summer, then this is an extreme event. If not, then the computer will do nothing. It has latitude there. So it has some condition in there. Then I do not do that. Once you set up this model, automatically calculate for you. Okay. So you don't have to worry about that much. Okay, here is the study site, and here is the lower Mississippi River Basin or Alluvial Valley. It's in here, and this is the Mississippi, and this is the Yadu River Basin. And I only choose this small watershed. It's called the Lower Yadu River Watershed. Here is the Lower Yadu River Watershed. This one is small, but it's not that small. It has 2,000 acres, which I calculate about a little bit less than 700 square kilometers. It's not that small. It's small, but not that small.
And then once we choose which one we study, and then we need to get the data. The data in HSPF model is water, shear description, and then say meteorology, climate conditions, and also hydrology data, and including land use, soil type, topography, precipitation, air temperature, discharge. Most of the data you can get it from National Hydrological Data Set, USGS Survey, or National Land Cover Data. You can download it from basins program, most of them. And then also that you can use the USGS, water quality monitoring stations, you can use that tool. Okay. So, and also we have our own measure data. Here is the model calibration and validation. So there is the discharge and discharge. And then this is the calibration and this is validation. And then we look at R square and also ANSE, nasty circuit efficiency and looming square errors. This is the prediction against the observation, and this is the peak measurements. It's a model prediction as well as the observation that visually matching. Okay, this is the calibration. So after that, and then we set up several climate change scenarios. One increased rainfall rate by 10 and 20%. The other one increased the air temperature by 0.2, 0.4, and 0.6 degrees Celsius. And then we see how this future of climate change, the rainfall increase in air temperatures on watershed, and the logical process. So here is the results. As you see that this is the discharge, increase the rainfall 10% and 20%, increase the stream discharge, which is reasonable. And also if you look at annual flow, okay, so this is the say base, and so without changing anything, and then increase 10%, increase 20%, and then the annual flow discharge increase. And this is the results for rainfall change. The water outflow is also the same thing, increase the rainfall, increases the water outflow to the basins. And we also look at air temperature. Air temperature change also that when air temperature increase, and then the discharge is going down because evapotranspiration. So that's why. But this is very small. Say about 10 years, it's only changed this much. It's relatively very small. Decrease very small. Okay. So for conclusion is that over 10 years simulation periods, an increase in rainfall rate by 10 and 20% respectively results in increase in the stream discharge by 8.1 and 7.4% for this watershed. And then a potential future wet climate has much greater impact in hydrology process and water quality. I didn't talk about water quality here. And then the dry climate. And one thing I need to mention is that the CAT model is very useful tools for the local watershed, as I talked about a moment ago. And because the GCM and RCM data set, they are not accurate for the local watershed. The small water, the local watershed is that a watershed in the state level or smaller, they are not good enough. It's not accurate. Thank you.
Questions? In the simulations, you increase by 10% or 20%. I assume that's a day time step.
Yeah, day.
Can the models handle? Cause
oh, no. This is the hourly concept, not daily. Hourly. Hourly.
Hourly. Yeah. It was. So you were able to put into an hourly.
Yeah, because HSPF. PF model require hourly time step.
Really?
So what require daily, right?
Yeah.
So what's daily, right?
Daily, you can have some daily, depending on the user defined way.
Okay.
But generally daily.
Daily, yeah. And HSPF require hourly time step.
Yeah.
It's hourly.
Yeah. So I believe.
Yeah, and one thing is that I say you use the say GCM model generate the future data for next 100 years, but their concept is monthly or annually.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Monthly.
Yeah, monthly. Yeah. Then once you get the data, how do you say? I mean, they disaggregate it into hourly or daily. That is the question. Yeah. It's uncertainty. It's accurate. It's very difficult.
That gets to really my question is, I think the climate change, the impact is more on the intensity than the annual amount.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why my question is, well, how much does that really affect it in your simulation, particularly when SWAT bag steps are usually daily time steps?
I
do
say
you have a feel for how much that impacts it? Can you answer that?
Let me say that again.
How much that impacts it that the putting the intensity in there in minutes versus
Well, I just finished a paper on water quality and then say there's nothing changed for the last 10 years. Only thing changed is summer. And summer added more rainfall falling there. It says, and other that's not changed. And then for that summer, it increased, say, by 37 or 35% for the nitrate and phosphorus loading into the river.
Yeah. Really
yeah. So it's that's more only for that extreme event.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Okay.